HarperCollins presents Wartime for the Shopgirls by Joanna Toy. Read by Becky Wright. For my parents, John and Mary, this was their war. Chapter 1. January 1942.
Reg! It's Reg! He's here!
Lily couldn't help herself. She'd been stationed at the window for the past 2 hours, as tense as a lookout in a South Coast pillbox. Now she tore to the back door the second she saw the latch on the back gate start to quiver. The hinge didn't even have time to squeak.
"Mom! Jim!"
she hollered excitedly over her shoulder.
"He's home!"
Then she was flying out over the yard bricks, her feet skidding on the frosty surface. A few days ago, the whole country had been blanketed in snow. Nearly 5 inches in their midland town of Hinton, which had cast feverish doubt on Reg being able to get home at all. The snow had shrunk back now, leaving a scummy tide mark on the fringes of the yard, though it was still cold enough to make her eyes sting. But Reg was here, finally, and guaranteed a warm welcome. His 48-hour leave was in place of the family celebration they'd hoped to have at Christmas, insofar as anyone was celebrating Christmas in this third already, winter of the war. If anyone had thought in 1939 that they'd still be fighting. Still, at least up to now it hadn't been as cold as that dreadful first winter, or as nail-shredding as the second, at the height of the Blitz.
"Lil, for goodness sake, get back inside. You've only got your slippers on."
The first words from her brother. And he was telling her off. No change there. And Lily had to smile. But she wasn't surprised. Reg, bless him, was the oldest in the family, and had always been the sensible one, the responsible one. Oh, he had to be, after their father had died. Her other brother, Sid, would have just clocked the slippers, red pom-poms, called her Frou-Frou or Fifi, he was always messing about with names, and made some crack about her pinching them off a French sailor. The fact that the British Navy, in which Sid was serving, issued its men with a plain, flat-topped cap, was a matter of some grievance with him, even though Lily was sure he'd have felt a right sissy in a hat with a pom-pom on it. But Sid was away down south, at HMS Northney on Hailing Island, and much as they'd tried, he and Reg hadn't been able to coordinate their leave to get home together. When she gave into despair, which wasn't often, Dora, their mum, sometimes wondered out loud when or if she'd ever have her 3 children under the same roof again. But it was no more than everyone else had to put up with. And as Dora was more likely to be heard to say in one of the many maxims she could produce to suit any occasion,
"What can't be cured must be endured."
"Come on inside then."
Lily hung on Reg's arm.
"We'll get the kettle on."
"I wouldn't say no." Poor Reg looked chilled through. His train must have been delayed. They mostly were these days, if not actually cancelled. And he'd probably had to hang about on a freezing platform.
"Where's Mum?"
"She's upstairs trying to keep herself busy and not watch the clock."
"No, I'm not. I'm here."
And there was Dora Collins, expectant in the scullery doorway. She was in her best dress in honour of the homecoming, with a Jack Ma scarf at the neck, no less, her Christmas present from Lily. Ever since she started at Marlowe's, the town's smartest department store, or so it liked to claim, Lily had promised herself that as soon as she could afford it, she'd buy her mum something nice. And when Marlowe's had given every junior a small bonus in gratitude for your hard work throughout the year in these difficult times, it had been earmarked straight away. Lily had only joined the store the previous June. She hadn't been expecting anything extra in her pay packet, so the few extra shillings had been a very welcome surprise. But Marlowe's was like that. It prided itself on looking after its employees, even though profits must be well down, for the simple reason that as the war ground on there was less and less to sell. Still, the buyers, like Miss Frobisher, Lily's boss on children's wear, did the best they could, and the shop's reputation meant that if anything did become available, from tea trays to tobacco, children's coats to combinations, Marlowe's was one of the first places a supplier would contact. Reg crossed the yard. Sid, again, would have...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?